राधाम कुंज बिहारी जय राधाम कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी शोध नंदन गज जन नंदन यशोध नंदन ब्रज जन नंदन यमुना तीरा वन धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभु ई बोल थैंक्स टू मत्स्यावतार फॉर हिज एक्सलेंट मृदंगा मत्स्यावतार फ्रॉम From Vrindavan. I'm Nalinikant Das. I'm from Alachua, Florida. Happy to be here and to read the Srimad Bhagavatam together with you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading Dashama Skand, 10th Canto, Chapter 82, entitled Krishna and Balaram Meet the Inhabitants of Vrindavan. Who has books? Or should I just read? Most people are listening. This chapter describes how the Yadavas and many other kings met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse and discussed topics concerning Lord Krishna. It also relates how Krishna met Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra and gave them great joy. Hearing that a total eclipse of the sun was soon to occur, people from all over Bharatvarsh, including the Yadavas, converged at Kurukshetra to earn special pious credit. After the Yadus had bathed and performed other obligatory rituals, they noticed that kings of Matsya, Ushinara, and other places had also come, as well as Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd community of Braj, who were always feeling the intense anxiety of separation from Krishna. The Yadavas, overjoyed to see all these old friends, embraced them one by one as they shed tears of happiness. Their wives also embraced one another with great pleasure. So, eclipses of the sun occur once or twice or sometimes three times a year. So this is not a totally unusual occurrence. So this one must have been very special that everyone from all over India is coming. A certain Tithi, a certain Mas, a certain especially powerful planetary configuration. Generally, the eclipse of the sun is not considered auspicious materially, but it can be auspicious spiritually. It is not considered a good time to start anything or do anything important materially. The sun is, as you know from Brahma Samhita, who knows that verse from Brahma Samhita related to the sun? Anyone? Yachchakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurtira shesha teja yasya gaya brahmati samrita kala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So the sun here is described as Raja, the king of the universe. If the king is being attacked by Rahu, which is what happens on solar eclipse time, Rahu is an asura. He's described by Srila Vyasadeva as very fierce. He's so powerful and he has such an appetite that he comes to swallow the sun. So all of us in Vedic culture become very distressed that, oh, our king, the emblem of sattva, the sun is a sattvic planet. The person who gives light, who gives us realization and vision, that person is becoming darkened, he's becoming swallowed, he's becoming totally eclipsed. By who? By Rahu, the Asura, the fierce Asura. So, technically speaking, this is not an auspicious time. It's a time when people increase their spiritual practices as an upaye. Upaye means what? Propitiation. When you get sick, you need to do something like take an oshadi, a medicine, or you need to control your diet. So when the sun is afflicted, the whole universe becomes distressed. Oh, the one who's giving us heat, the one who's giving us light, our king, our protector, on whom we all depend, is being tormented. This is a horrible situation. Luckily, by the arrangement of the Lord, it only lasts for about 6 hours. But in that time, during the eclipse, all the devotees fast, and they go for snan, or they go for tirtha in holy places. Like here it's mentioned, they all go to Kurukshetra. And this must be a very special solar eclipse to be bringing all the greatest personalities, even God himself is coming to observe this particular eclipse at Kurukshetra. As we know, Lord Chaitanya also appeared on an eclipse, right? The eclipse of... Speak up, you learned Brahmins. The eclipse of the moon. Chandrama manasa jata. In the Purusha Sukta, it is mentioned that the moon is the mind of the universe. And Lord Chaitanya appeared under an eclipse of the moon. And we all know that Mahaprabhu was quite an insane man. His mind was quite disturbed with the fever of love for Krishna. So this is a divine example of how the eclipse is affecting people, and everyone wants to come to this holy place to perform their upayas, to do their ablutions. And especially because they knew Krishna was coming. So we also observe certain rituals, certain times to do things, like Brahma Muhurta. You know, it's calculated for 2 muhurtas before the point of sunrise. Muhurta is 48 minutes. So 2 muhurtas is 1 hour and 36 minutes before sunrise. Brahma Muhurta begins. We were just at Haridwar Dham. Who's been to Har Ki Pauri? You know that holy place? This is the place where Lord Brahma takes his bath. And every night at sunset, there's puja to Ganga Ma. Very wonderful, enthralling ceremony. And people were taking bath at sunset. And I was discussing with the Purohit there, there are many nice Brahmins there, that why they're taking bath in the evening time. He said, yes, Brahma Muhurta is the best time to take your snan in the Ganges, the most spiritually potent. So here an arrangement, a solar eclipse, meeting God at Kurukshetra. What a wonderful combination, or what's the word, celebration or congregation that must have been. We can aspire for that, that we can join Krishna and Balaram at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse and actually visualize how much love the gopis and his mother and his father have for him. They're just embracing and shedding tears to see their long-lost Lord. We can witness these lilas of Krishna if we want to. Prabhupada is giving us the darshan right here through his literature. This is living, as Prabhupada said. What is in my books, that is living. This is not something maybe in your next life or 10 lifetimes from now I may be able to be qualified to be an onlooker at this extremely auspicious ceremony. Is living by Prabhupada's grace here, this experience. Anyway, in Vedic astrology, there are so many combinations, special yogas, special days, like Guru Pushyamrit Yoga. You're familiar with that. If the moon is in the constellation of Pushyami on a Thursday, if you do some religious ceremony, it gives you 1,000 times the effect. Of course, you're all living in Vrindavan or visiting Vrindavan, which is the best of all upayas, the best of all tirtha spots. So, but ordinary people, and even Vaishnavas observe this. If there is Guru Pushyamrit Yoga, if there is a solar eclipse on such and such month, you go to Kurukshetra. Krishna also observed all these ceremonies. Another point is that this is 5,000 years ago, historically, correct? So if they did not have a computer, if they did not have email or telephones, then how does everybody know the eclipse is happening on this day? How do they all know Krishna's coming? How do they know that Nanda and the gopis are going to be there? How did they communicate? How did the astronomers and astrologers figure out the time and the day? Nowadays, science thinks they are so advanced. 5,000 years ago, without the help of a machine, the Vedic culture knew all of these things. 5,000 years ago, Sanjaya is sitting in Delhi with King Dhritarashtra, and he's seeing everything that's going on in Kurukshetra by spiritual television. He's conveying every word, every motion, every sentiment, every word of Krishna. So it is not that the machine is advancement of science. In fact, the Kali Yuga, the age of iron, right, which implies the machine, the metal contraption. This is degradation of society. It's not advancement. Previously, they all knew what day, what titi, when the sun goes into Sankranti, which day the sun is changing signs, when is the exact minute that Brahma Muhurta will begin. So this is an important thing to be gleaned from this chapter also, that there's no dearth of knowledge in the ancient Vedic culture. It's our disqualification that we have to rely upon the machine or the telephone or the email to communicate. Previously, they did it by other methods, right? We don't know. Maybe it's some spiritual television or a mystic city. Prabhupada gives the example of a yogi dipping in the water at Gangotri and within 1 minute arriving at Gangasagar in the Bay of Bengal. He transports his body within 1 second on the waves of the Ganges water. Previously, they all had such shakti that the gross machine was not necessary. Pray to be appear, take your next birth when Krishna's appearing in Dwarpa Yuga on the 28th day of Lord Brahma and come tell us how they did it. But I think they had some mystic powers. They can see things without having to be physically present. This brings up a good point that the whole thing of spirituality does not depend on bodily functions. Your faith in God, your visualization of God, your relationship with Guru does not depend on external circumstance. It's a totally divine subject. I was reading yesterday in Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada says that what really matters in preparation, in offering, in service to Krishna is the bhava or the love with which you give your service to Him. Your mood, the heartfelt, deep core of your soul energy by which you make an offering to Him. Krishna is omnipotent. He can walk behind His devotee as Sakshi Gopal did. He can enter into the deity and come out of the deity as Lord Chaitanya did. You know, transcendental life is exactly that. It's beyond sensual experience. It would be nice to have those facilities, though, where you knew, oh, Krishna's coming, I'm going. How did everybody in India know? We get some clues throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the kidnapping of Rukmini, you know the story. Krishna found out about it, that she was going to be taken by Sishupal. So he's 1,000 miles away and he's there the next morning. How did he do it? By Shatabdi Express? Super fast train machine? No, he just got on his horses and they take him there as fast as he likes. He's not limited by time or space. So, this reminds me trying to remember exactly where he says it. Where the soul wants to experience the free life of the spirit, the unrestricted, unconditioned life. In that, when you're established in the soul has no boundary. He can go to Vaikuntha like even Durvasa Muni did. And he can come back here. They can go down to the hellish planets, like Bali Maharaj, and come back and then go up to heaven and take Indra's kingdom. There's no restriction for people that are so powerful. Any comments on this? There's a lot more to read. Okay, like you do in the morning. You make announcements and everybody comes to hear what is going on from Panchagoda. Yeah, maybe the king comes out, or Dinabandhu. The king comes out and everyone in the village comes and he makes a proclamation. That's a good idea. In the astrological books, the description is that in previous ages, they had various instruments, like an hourglass or something, but they would just watch the movements of the planets. With their divine eyes, they could calculate. The moon is entering Rohini now. The sun is entering Vrishchik. And then, yes, the Brahmins would teach and would inform society, perhaps through the king. The king would always have the best, most learned Brahmins in his court. He would always have the best information because it's necessary for him to protect and inform the public of their welfare. Anyway, so we find there's a great special solar eclipse and they all go to Kurukshetra. In first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that Kurukshetra is a place of pilgrimage from time immemorial, where many religious rites have been performed. We just came from Punjab, and as you drive down the Ambala Highway, you go right through Kurukshetra. You see a big gateway, entrance to the town with Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. If you want to stop, you go take your machine over to Jyotisar, which is where Bhagavad Gita was spoken. It's a very wonderful place. Anyone's been there before? Jai. Meditating on Krishna, speaking Bhagavad Gita at Kurukshetra is something to remember at the time of our death. Last night I was telling a story in Bhagavad Gita class. I didn't tell the whole story. Can I just repeat it? Basically, it was a student. I was giving a seminar in Germany, and one of the students, my host, she had a deity of Krishna in her house. And I would tell her, when you make breakfast, give me the plate, I'll bring it down, I'll offer it to Krishna. And she was she's not a Hare Krishna devotee per se, not in this lifetime, but she was very cautious about it. And then one day we were sitting and she said, I asked her, how did you come to buy this house? It's an interesting house in Germany. It's about 400 years old. It's leaning, like the kitchen floor is sloping. And the whole building has old blocks outside and the streets are made of cobblestone. So it has a historical feel to it. And I said, well, how did you come to buy this house? And she said, my husband and I, we looked at it and we weren't sure whether to buy it or not. I was in complete anxiety. Because what if the plumbing failed? Or what if the roof collapsed and you make a $100,000 purchase? So she told me I was in complete anxiety, and then one day Krishna appeared to me in my dream and he's standing in this house. And as soon as I saw that, I knew immediately we must buy this house. So Krishna incarnated in her house and he's living there now. And she's not even practicing sadhana bhakti. Must have done in previous lives. She's very respectful, comes to India, gives me facility. So there's some close connection to Krishna. Anyway, I wanted to finish the story was that I said, oh, Gudrun, if you remember that vision of Krishna at the time of death, you go to Krishna. And I thought I was being a little preachy with her. But she said, oh, it is not possible for me to forget that. I will surely remember him at the time of death. This is Krishna's mercy on her. Krishna never forgets his devotee. Even if you do some little service in one lifetime, he will never forget. He's so grateful. Does anyone know the Sanskrit word for grateful? Good, no one knows, including me. But he's very grateful for whatever service we render. She must have done such nice service that he incarnates in her mind, in her own house, and he comes to live there. The deity, you've seen Kartamashai, the Krishna alone with the cow. She and her husband got married, and naturally everybody comes and brings a gift. And she showed me the deity and she said, oh, this is the best of all the gifts at my wedding. Such affection for Krishna. So then I asked her, well, what did your husband say when you told him that Krishna appeared in this house? And she said, oh, I did not tell him. She never shared that with him. Because she knew in her heart what it meant. And she decided right then and there, this is the place for us. She didn't want to jeopardize the following of Lord Krishna's signal by sharing it with the husband that may or may not have had the same amount of faith. Anyway, it's a wonderful story. And it's relevant to the discussion of chapter 82 because Krishna appears at Kurukshetra at this solar eclipse to give audience to his devotees, especially to who? Gopis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were suffering many years because Krishna had gone away. So he never forgets our service to him, and he'll always reciprocate, he'll always be grateful, and Ashlishava Padratam Pinashtuman, if sometimes he makes us brokenhearted by not being present before us, as Lord Chaitanya prayed, we should be confident that Krishna is always thinking of us and will always come in our time of need. He comes here not because he has to observe the religious ritual of the sun eclipse at a holy place. As he mentions in Bhagavad Gita, I am the ritual. I am the butter, the fire, and the offering. Krishna himself is the ritual, so he doesn't have to come. He comes to give mercy to his devotee. Should we read some more, or should I tell more stories? Huh? Okay, I'll read some more. When Queen Kunti saw her brother Vasudev and other members of her family, she put aside her sorrow. Yet still she said to Vasudev, "O my brother, I am so unfortunate because all of you forgot me during my tribulations. Alas, even one's relatives forget a person whom Providence no longer favors." Such a nice leela, that she's accusing her family members. You forgot me, and I was suffering. This is described later in the chapter, that this is not that she's spiteful or angry. She's in the ecstasy of separation, and she's giving accusations. We have experience of this in other parts of the 10th canto with the gopis, where the gopis were accusing and calling Krishna ill names, right? It is not that they feel angry towards Krishna, it's part of their bhava. It's an ecstatic mood which embellishes their deep love for Godhead. So Vasudev replied, "My dear sister, everyone is merely a plaything of fate. We Yadavas were so harassed by Kamsa that we were forced to scatter and take shelter in foreign lands. So there was no way for us to keep in touch with you." So Vasudev gives a philosophical reply to his suffering sister. "Dear sister, please accept that it's just fate. There was nothing we can do. We are all in the hands of God. It is beyond our control." There's a nice discussion in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita where introduction, maybe 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapo analovayu, then aparayam mitastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param. Besides matter, there is a superior energy, which is the jiva. Correct? They're two separate things. So in the purport to that aparayam verse, Prabhupada discusses that even though the jiva is superior energy and has nothing to do with matter, he's still put under the dominion or under the control of matter. Why? Why, if we are superior energy, why are we conditioned by a temporary body made of earth, water, sky, and as Rukmini said, mustaches and other horrible things when she was talking to Krishna about her appointed husband? Because the material nature is under the control of God, It is enacted by his will, which the individual jiva cannot supersede. If Krishna orders the jiva, he orders Srila Prabhupada, you come and appear as my representative. Not only that, but you go to Patal Desh, the Western world. Srila Prabhupada comes to Boston and he expresses this little bit of rasa with Krishna in anger also. He says, my Lord, my dear Krishna, why have you sent me here? The people here are simply absorbed in tamas and rajas. But you must have some reason for have sent me here. And by your potency, I will be able to give the transcendental message of Godhead, even to the people that are totally absorbed in the lower modes of rajas and tamas. So you see that mood of the devotee in his ecstasy of love for God, saying, oh, Vasudev, you forgot me in my tribulations. And Vasudev says to his sister Kunti, oh, it is all in Krishna's hands. It is not my fault. It's such a wonderful discussion. It's philosophically correct, but there's a deep bhava and a deep enjoyment in that exchange. That's even there between Krishna and, was it Rukmini? She was fanning him, I think, the story is in Krishna book. And Krishna starts talking like, why did you marry me? I'm nobody. Nobody even knows what I am. Am I a Vaishya? Am I a Kshatriya? I don't have a post. I come from a cowherd. I'm not educated. And besides, I'm not even interested in this family life. You should go select another husband. Krishna's playing with his wife like this and she falls down, who knows the quote, like a banana tree cut down by a whirlwind. She becomes so distressed in her bhava that, oh, my Lord is leaving me. He doesn't want me anymore. And this is all described in Krishna book as a great exchange of love. The Vatsalya Rasa or the Parakiya Bhava or the wedded relationship enhanced by anger, enhanced by some sub-rasa, which is the context here in the discussion between Nanda, Vasudev and Kunti. But it's also a philosophical fact. We are merely a plaything of fate. And Prabhupada says that one cannot be happy unless one accepts the condition of life into which we are put as an arrangement of the Supreme Will. If we're on the mental platform, Manahi Chanchalam Krishna, the mind is always going from here to there, accepting and rejecting. Well, maybe I'll stay in Vrindavan. Maybe I'll go back to the USA. Maybe I should be a Sankirtan devotee. Maybe I should work in the Pujari room, right? Maybe I should earn money. Maybe I should stay strict brahmachari. The mind is always accepting and rejecting. But Prabhupada says, if you want to be happy, accept that the position of life you're put in is the arrangement of the Lord. And then with that attitude of surrender and acceptance, you can actually see what a great blessing he's given us in our current situation. You can see Krishna reciprocating with you through your suffering of diabetes, or through your husband leaving, or dying early, or through your having to go to New York to earn money to support your family, or through your having to go to work in the office, or through your doing 6 hours a day of Sankirtan as a brahmachari living in the temple. always see the Lord's hand in every arrangement. And only if he gives what Prabhupada calls his finger signal, then you make an adjustment in your life, or you make some change in your life. Prabhupada wrote one letter to us in San Francisco, where he said, "This is your American disease. You want to change everything." I wrote him a letter once. I said, "Prabhupada, I'm a grihastha. All the sannyasis are saying this is Maya. I'm not really sure if I want to have children. I'll take sannyas if you think it is best." Prabhupada writes me back one, two sentences. He said, "You thought that by accepting grihastha life, you would increase your service. So you should do that. If you do not want children, why did you marry? You should not take sannyas. Period." Don't be on the mental platform, I learned from that. I became married because I require the association of a wife. Right? You don't accept it, then give it up, then go take sannyas, then go back, then again become vanaprast, then take sannyas again, then leave. This is the mental platform. We're naturally affected by the mind and senses. But if we want to have the vision of Krishna, and we want to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, do it. Fix your mind. Okay, you decided to come to Vrindavan. Stay here. Do it. I was speaking to Manjari the other day. She's been here like 16 years now, I think. You know Manjari? Yes. And I said, "When you first came to Vrindavan, wasn't it difficult adjusting?" And she said, "Oh, very difficult. For many months I was thinking, when can I return to Hawaii?" I've been in India for 2.5 weeks and I'm thinking, maybe I should go back a little early. I've been coming to India every year for 37 years. And every time 3 weeks is just enough that I can handle. So I have to accept that by my own past life sins or by my own conditioning, I'm supposed to live in the West and work there as a grihastha. If Krishna ever shows some mercy on me, I'll get to spend some time like you are in the holy dham, fixing the mind and doing more Mahamantra Jap. But I should accept and be happy and think that this is an arrangement of the Lord. Now I'll use this situation to serve Krishna. So Vasudev and Kunti are apparently having a little discussion, a little argument, why did you abandon me in my time of need? But actually, she understands this is Krishna's arrangement. She's just playing with her brother. She's expressing her feminine external sentiment. But internally, she's a fully effulgent Vaishnava. The mother of the Pandavas, not an ordinary jiva. Not something that even we can become. She's a special soul. So, it just boggles the mind to think that Krishna has given even a soul like myself. I had different plans for my life. I would have done this and I would have done that. But Prabhupada came and somehow or other I was attracted and joined the movement and became a grihastha, and he gave me nice occupation, nice devotee wife, and my life turned out this way, and look at the result. Sitting in Vrindavan, sitting on the seat of Vyas, with Vaishnavas from all over the world listening to my paltry knowledge and experience. What a great result has happened from following the signal of both fate and the will of the Lord. So as you read this chapter 82, just remember some of these realizations from this aging devotee, that accept and be happy with the situation you're in and see, what does Krishna want from me? Why am I doing here? What every second be thinking, how can I serve the Lord now? And He will guide you, and Guru will guide you. And if your attitude is very surrendered like that, they put their hand on your head and you feel their blessings as you're washing the pot or riding the rickshaw to shop for the deity or going to work in the Western world, wherever they have you. Krishna has the whole world in His control, as Lord Brahma says, like a walnut in His fist. Right? Any comments or any realizations or any questions? You spoke already. This is a little rasa. He's my superior. He's the temple president. But I'll tell him, stop. This is a little mixture of brotherly rasa enhanced by my false ego. But I'll have to call on you if nobody else wants to speak. Here's your chance to speak before the temple president gets to speak. Somewhat? Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, Krishna helps those who help Himself. Then how do I know what changes or what actions I can do in my life if I'm just lazy and just saying, okay, Krishna put me here, I'll sleep. Yeah. Good question. How did you determine the will of God? The will of God is expressed through your own conscience, as stated in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The conscience is the form direction of the super soul. In your deepest intellect, your conscience, you should take direction from the Lord. Externally speaking and eternally speaking also, that order comes by the word of the Guru. You pray to Prabhupada, does He want me to accept temple presidency in Vrindavan? Before you took that post, I'm sure you thought of it like that. And He gives you some indication. You have some feeling. Right? Otherwise, how do we make a decision in life if we don't consult the authority? The authority is the external manifestation of super soul, the spiritual master, scripture, and Vaishnavas. And internally, He's there. Tasmat tvam sharanam gacha. Go, surrender unto Him. He's seated in your heart. He'll talk. He'll walk with you. He'll appear in your dreams. He'll take a little uncovering of Maya so you can practically see right before your eyes. When we were joining Prabhupada in the late 60s and early 70s, there were a lot of devotees. Just we come from a crazy background just a year or two ago. But a lot of devotees were sharing with each other. Oh, Krishna showed me this. Oh, Prabhupada gave me this realization. They dispense unlimited mercy. It only depends on us to be receptive to it. Like you said, you want to be lazy, you want to stand outside of the sun, then sleep. If you want to do something for Krishna, what is the verse? Therefore get up and fight. Who knows that shloka from the Gita? Anyone have Gita with them? Remember how Prabhupada used to sit and he would say, find that verse? Do you ever have that experience? He would stop. He would always refer to the Shastra, whatever he was saying. It's in the second chapter, around text 30 to 35, I think. Get up and fight. A flourishing kingdom awaits you. Armed with yoga, stand and fight. Who knows the Sanskrit to that? I knew it at one time. You should know it. Then when you become older like me, you'll forget it. And you'll have to ask the younger people, what is that line again? Tyaktva utishta parantapaha. Utishta means to get up. Look for that line. Tyaktva utishta, get up. Don't be lazy. Don't come to my age and you're at the time of death and you're thinking, oh, I wish I had done this, I wish I had done that. The devotee says, kritosmaram, kritosmara, at the time of death. Remember all that I have done for you. So do something for Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya in your life so that when you're ready to leave this body, you can pray to him. Please, Krishna, remember this, remember that. Tyaktva utishta parantapa. Yes, that's what I was thinking. There's another line, armed with yoga, stand and fight. So Krishna doesn't advise laziness or inactivity. The whole Bhagavad Gita is directed towards telling Arjuna, don't be lazy, get up and fight, do your duty. It's under my arrangement. There's one line in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada disagrees with this laziness philosophy. Do you remember that line where he says, my temples are not for lazy, rejected fellows. They should not live in the ashram. Remember that line from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Any other comment? Okay. Thank you. Another. About me and Prabhupada. Yeah. Well, I was here with Prabhupada in 74, before the temple, while the temple was under construction. I was with Prabhupada, you know, physically speaking, maybe 100 times. I was very fortunate. And I saw, if I recall just one thing, what stands out is that he always thought of God. Always spoke about God. He was God conscious. It wasn't about me, I am this, I am that. It wasn't about what he could get from us. He was just absorbed in Krishna constantly. And you could see it. Even physically, if you got close to Prabhupada, you looked directly in his eyes, there's a mystique there. Like Srila Prabhupada says that a woman can tell if a man is looking at her, if he is lusty or not. So when you look in Prabhupada, you can tell that he lives in another world, in another consciousness. He's externally, practically talking about this contract and this many bricks, but if you're with Prabhupada, you know that, as he says about a pure devotee, he never deviates from the transcendental subject of Krishna. That's what always I love to be with Prabhupada, because you were right in the presence of God when you were with him. It wasn't like a charismatic guru type of situation. I've seen the disciples of other gurus like Ayurveda teachers and Yogi Bhajan and other yogis that are not devotional. And it's always some material consideration. With Prabhupada, it was only about Krishna, only about God. He put you in God consciousness in his association. That was why my wife and I actually stayed the whole summer. In 1974, we were just married and we had a wedding reception at her father's house. And she has a big Italian family. Any Italians here? No. Anyway, Italians are very family oriented. If there's ever a family occasion, everybody comes together. So they're all coming, I'm there with a dhoti and tilak and shaved head and she's in sari, and they're all Westerners from New York. Italianos from New York. We got married in San Francisco, but we had gone to New York to see them. So her father arranged a reception. And as I'm sitting there saying hello to everybody, all the men are offering me a little white envelope. So I put it in my pocket. And then after everybody had left, we said, look, we've got $2,500. Let's go to India. So little did I know that we bought tickets to India. At that time, they were $450 round trip on Pan Am. Now they are $1,400. Anyway, we arrive in India, and I didn't know it was summertime in India. We landed on the plane in Delhi. It's May 10, okay? And we're standing by the door, and the stewardess opens the door to the airplane, and a gust of boiling hot air comes into our faces. And I go, oh my God, what have we done? So, Prabhupada was coming in August, or late July, and it's the first week of May, second week of May. There was nothing here. Only Prabhupada's little room was done, and we were staying across the street right here in those little gray stone rooms that you see over on the right. Not the nice ones with the air conditioners. So I have 1 minute to conclude the story. Anyway, we both got very sick. There was no facility. Luckily, we were able to rent a little fan. Otherwise, I was ready to go back to America the first week I was here. But because we had a little fan and we knew Prabhupada was coming and it would be special to be with Prabhupada in Vrindavan, we stayed 2 months. And then on the day after Prabhupada's Guru Puja, the day after Janmashtami, we hightailed it to Delhi and got back to the USA. So we're very fortunate to be with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, as the inhabitants of Vrindavan are very fortunate to be with Krishna and Balaram in Kurukshetra in the 82nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai Ho, Hare Krishna.